This is KBNF Regional News. I'm Patricia Naft. It's Monday, February 3rd. The environmental group Citizens for a Healthy Community has filed suit in U.S. District Court against the U.S. Forest Service over a plan to drill 5 natural gas wells in the Gunnison National Forest. The proposal for SG Interests was approved by the Forest Service's Paonia Ranger District back in 2012. In all, the drilling area would cover about 6 acres of forest land. The CHC says that could be enough for the project to impact sensitive wildlife habitat and to impact the headwaters of the Gunnison River's North Fork.
This is basically another instance of government giveaway to streamline industrialization of public lands.
That's Jim Ramey, director of the CHC. His group is charging that the Forest Service violated the National Environmental Policy Act when it approved the drilling plan through what's called a categorical exclusion. That means the plan can move forward without the same kind of environmental reviews usually required by law. That kind of exclusion stems from part of the 2005 Energy Policy Act, Section 390. That law outlines a number of situations where drilling plans can be approved without a further study of environmental impacts. In the decision to move forward with the proposal, Paonia District Ranger Levi Boyles said the district did study how the plan might impact wildlife and concluded that there wouldn't be any habitat loss because of it. Ultimately, Boyles concluded there wasn't anything in the plan that warranted a formal environmental assessment and environmental impact statement. SG Interests is also working on developing as many as 146 natural gas wells in the Bull Mountain area of the Gunnison National Forest. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel is reporting that an environmental group is planning to sue Energy Fuels Incorporated over the White Mesa uranium mill in Blanding, Utah. The Grand Canyon Trust sent a notice of the lawsuit to the company last week. The group claims emissions at the mill have passed the level allowed by Utah Division of Air Quality. The group also claims the company violated some rules about capturing mill tailings. A spokesperson for Energy Fuels told the Daily Sentinel those claims were either inaccurate or had already been addressed by regulators. Energy Fuels has said it plans to close down the mill this year and reopen next year. The White Mesa Mill is the last conventional uranium mill operating in the country. The company previously had plans to build a new mill near Naderita, but backed out of those plans because of poor market conditions. A jury in Grand Junction has found Heather Jensen guilty of child abuse that led to the death of her 2 sons. According to the Daily Sentinel, the jury reached the verdict on Friday. Jensen was found guilty on 2 Class 3 felony charges of negligent child abuse resulting in death. But the jury also acquitted Jensen on 2 separate felony charges of criminally negligent homicide. Jensen's two sons were found dead in November of 2012 after being left in her SUV with the heat running. Prosecutors argued Jensen should have known leaving the boys in the car would put their lives in danger. The defense, meanwhile, argued the deaths were an accident, but not a criminal accident. Jensen could face 4 to 16 years in jail for each felony charge. Some of the meatier bills of the legislative session are beginning to move through the State House as part of our Capitol Conversation series. Benta Berkland has talks to political reporters about what's on the horizon.
I'm here with Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press and Vic Vella with Colorado Community Media. Ivan, we've got a lot of different bills going on right now moving through the State House. What have you covered recently that's been interesting?
We're getting a session where we're starting to see more bills coming up in committee and actually getting up to the House and Senate floor for debates. One bill that is making it its way through the process that's generated a lot of interest is this proposal to let municipalities decide whether bars should stay open past 2 up until 4:30 a.m. A bill being sponsored by 2 Denver Democrats, and part of their pitch is this would help with public safety in preventing these large crowds from getting out at the same time. Of course, there's also some questions about whether in the end it's just going to make people, you know, have large crowds at 4:30 a.m. So we'll see. That's an interesting bill that it really is getting a lot of attention right now.
Okay, Vic, I know you covered that. There's issues about, you know, different cities closing at different times. Are people going to bar hop? And like Ivan said, a lot of potential ramifications. Do you see this as a statewide issue? Is it more of a Denver thing? Do you think it does have impact in Western Colorado and other parts of the state?
At least one representative, he was wondering why are we acting like the Denver City Council during this committee hearing. He thinks it's only a Denver-based issue, and in large part, he's right. But you got to give everyone that opportunity to decide for themselves. And it's interesting because it's competing public safety arguments. On one hand, you have this bill sponsors and supporters saying, listen, we can't have all these drunk people coming out of the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning, causing all these problems, getting in fights, and limiting the resources that are available for cops. And then the other public safety aspect is, well, do you really want more drunken drivers on the streets at 3, 4, or 5 in the morning? So it's an interesting argument, but just because it cleared committee, who knows what's going to happen once it gets through the House and Senate.
This bill is unique in the sense that it's new. I haven't seen it introduced before to change bar closing times. Ivan, we're going to see a lot of measures in the next few days that lawmakers have already debated in the past.
That's true. And a big one is this expansion of background checks for firearm sales. Last year, Democrats passed a law requiring background checks for private and online sales. It generated a very intense debate here at the Capitol, very strong opposition from Republicans and gun rights activists. And so Republicans have really made this one of their big issues, and rightfully so. I mean, it led to 3 state lawmakers losing their jobs, 3 Senate Democrats. So it's a very heated topic, and this we're about to see the first attempt from Republicans to repeal this expansion of background checks, and it'll be a long day at the Capitol when it comes up.
Vic, you've been looking at some of the issues around renewable energy mandates for electric co-ops. Democrats last session increased the renewable energy standard for rural electric co-ops. Republicans are upset about it, saying it's going to raise rates and cause harm to a lot of consumers. There's efforts now underway to roll back that mandate.
Yeah, it's interesting because another bill went down recently on that issue that would have put back the deadline for the mandate about 5 years. And there's other action going on around that. And it's not just that. I think we're starting to see now, as Ivan mentioned, a lot of bills trying to undo Democratic efforts from last year, and those are starting to surface. A couple of bills aimed at the election reform bill that Democrats passed, Republicans trying to deal with challenges to mail-in ballots and opting out of that process. But it's interesting because it's just everything is so much different this year. It's an election year. Certainly, we are going to see those marathon committee hearings for those gun bills when they come up. But the tone around the Capitol right now is not nearly as eventful a place as it was last year, which from a reporter's perspective, thank goodness.
And thank you. That was Vic Vella with Colorado Community Media, Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capitol Conversation.
Stay tuned for the latest edition of Western Slope Skies from the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. For this edition, we'll hear about the Andromeda Galaxy. After that, it's the Monday Morning Music Mix with Steve. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.
When you look at the night sky with the naked eye, everything that you see is in our Milky Way galaxy. The farthest, easily seen star is only a few thousand light years away. A light year is the distance that light travels in 1 year, about 6 trillion miles. The one exception is the Andromeda Galaxy. It is also known as Messier 31 or M31. M31 is the most distant object visible to the naked eye. There are 2 reasons for this. The first is that M31 is a galaxy similar to the Milky Way with hundreds of billions of stars. The second is that M31 is only 2.5 million light years away. In the grand scheme of the universe, this is next door. Yet the light that you see from M31 began its journey when the Gunnison River was just beginning to carve the canyon we call the Black Canyon. To find M31 in January and February with the naked eye, you'll need a dark site, no moon, and 20 to 30 minutes for your eyes to dark adapt. However, if you start with binoculars, then you should be able to find it even from your backyard. Look west and find four bright stars that make up a large square. This is an asterism called the Great Square of Pegasus. Find the northernmost of the four stars. As you move away from the square at that corner, you will see a chain of stars. The second of these is relatively bright. Turn your view sharp right and move until you see a smudge in the sky. This is the immense Andromeda Galaxy. There are several good sites on the internet that can help. Search for how to find the Andromeda Galaxy. You've been listening to Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. I'm Brian Cashin.